Well, shit. Bullets were still striking the beast, sounding almost like a hard rain on a metal roof, but for that split second, it was just me and the Noctmar, all alone in the world. Time dilated down until the instant was an eternity. He'd come to take me, to steal my destiny, to remake our world in his nightmare image. And as that mouth opened around me, I came to the terrible realization that he didn't mean to possess me. He meant to consume me. He wanted to be one, all right, but now the Noctmar would be the host. I would live forever in his guts. But then someone blew a hole through the top of the dragon's head, big enough to see the stars through. I was washed away in a sudden burst of slime, sent spiraling out of control down the street. The Noctmar rose, spraying glowing fluid in every direction as another colossal hit ripped through its back and out its chest. I saw the flash that time. It had come from out of the sky. There was a helicopter turned sideways, hovering over the conference center. Looks like Frank's got his air support. But then I recognized the familiar, odd, bulbous shape of MHI's MI-24 Hind. That wasn't MCB air support. That was my wife hanging out the side of a helicopter with a free sample 20-millimeter cannon. The dragon opened its mouth to engulf the helicopter in flames. No! I slipped and scrambled my way forward, trying to get to the embedded axe. Fire arched across the sky, but Skippy was too fast, and the Hind rose up and away just ahead of the attack and out of the dragon's range. However, that wasn't even close to being out of Julie's range, and as the chopper turned and with just enough time passed to work the bolt, a third round blasted through the Noctmar's jaw, through one of its arms, and through the engine block of an upside-down police car. The street was aglow with spilled dragon blood. The bitter taste was in my mouth. The Noctmar was visibly smaller, deflating as its essence was spilled from its wounds. Someone passed me quick on the right. The Noctmar had returned to all fours, but only for an instant, as a 2-foot line was slashed along one wrist. Franks appeared on the other side as the claw rose, easily dodging the same type of attack that had crippled me. Franks had learned from my mistake, and as the claw went past, he hacked a chunk off of it the size of a Thanksgiving turkey with his ancient Roman sword. Movement on the left. This was even faster. Just a flash of red fur, and claws sunk into one of the rear legs. The werewolf was gone as quickly as it had struck, and by the time the dragon's tail pulverized that area into nothing, Heather Kirkaden was attacking the other leg. The Noctmar rose up on its tail and hind legs, one unscathed wing covering the entire street. It aimed its head downward, preparing to engulf the street directly beneath it in flame, taking us all to hell with it. But then Julie's next round creased the side of its skull, took one horn completely off, and the burst of flame went to the side to melt the front of another casino and to cook their world-famous fountains into steam. I reached Lord Machado's axe and grabbed on with my working hand. Desperate, still being peppered with bullets from all around, and now being hacked to bits from beneath, the Noctmar slammed its remaining wing inward against its body. The concussion hit the street, and a massive blast of wind swept everyone away. The others were closer. I saw Franks hurled through the air to disappear into the steam. Heather was knocked through the windshield of an army truck. I held on to the axe as the wind washed over me. It tried to carry me away, but I was as embedded to the earth as the axe. Fuck you, Nachmar. I'm not done yet. When the wind passed, I wrenched the axe out of the ground and started forward. The Nachmar, now half its original size and rapidly disintegrating, was trying to steady itself on four damaged limbs. The head came around, searching for me desperately, its final hope. But instead, I was its doom. The mouth gaped wide before me. I swung from the shoulder. The axe tore the end of its snout off. I blinked away the slime and stepped to the side as the teeth slammed shut where I'd just been. I swung again, removing half of its bottom jaw. The head struck the ground hard. I followed, striking, lifting, striking. Each hit took another chunk from its neck. The muscles of my arm burned. My blood was rushing out of my injuries. I stumbled, but kept going. The head rose, trying to get away, trying to escape the hungry axe. Too weak, I couldn't follow it. I was about to pass out. The Nachmar was coming apart all around me, great chunks of the creature disintegrating and falling to explode on impact. I couldn't reach its head, but its body was still here. I turned toward its torso, just in time to be hit by one of its falling limbs. I found myself on my knees. The dragon had lost too much mass to remain cohesive, and its body began to split and flow into dead nightmare slime. The dark body became translucent, and I could see the opposite side of the street through it as it melted. There. Deep inside of the dragon's chest cavity was a small, misshapen figure, manlike, the size of a child, only twisted and distorted, its limbs too long and uneven, its head too big. It was the actual Alp, the actual form of the creature here on this plane. It stared at me with big red eyes. It knew I was the cause of its failure, the cause of its banishment and future starvation, and its last act of defiance in this world would be to kill me. The remainder of the dragon's body turned, angling itself to fall and crush me beneath. I lifted Lord Mashado's axe, and with all of the strength I had left, hurled it through the air. It spun, end over end, as the Alp's already gigantic eyes widened in fear. The axe split the dragon's belly, but my aim was off, and I only struck the Alp on one side. The Alp let out a silent scream, bubbles appearing in the fluid around its mouth. It began to disintegrate around the axe wound, but it was still alive for the moment, and the melting dragon corpse took another tottering step toward me. I was about to be crushed. A second object came flipping through the air, only this time the aim was true, and the bone handle of a knife suddenly appeared in the center of the Alp's face. It was the Black Heart of Suffering. The tiny creature seemed to swell the instant it was struck by the knife. It twitched and jerked spasmodically, wailing in agony that none of us could hear. It thrashed as its form broke into pieces. And then it was perfectly still, floating in the bowels of its gigantic creation.
"Good shot, Mosh," I croaked,
as I turned to look over my shoulder. Mosh was there, but he was staring at his open hand that had just had a magic knife snatched from it. Standing next to my surprised brother was Edward the Orc. Well, that makes more sense. Ed's clothing was scorched and charred, but he was in one piece. Ed raised one arm defiantly and flipped the bird at the dead alp. The nightmare dragon was dead, and what was left of it was splitting into multiple chunks, spreading apart, with long mucus strings dangling between the pieces. I got to my feet. Deliriously thinking that I really needed to get my arm looked at before I bled to death, and that I was still really close if this damn thing decided to fall on me. I was hit hard in the neck. I reached up, found something hard jammed in there, and pulled it out. It was a dart. Son of a... But then the remains of the Las Vegas Strip rushed up to hit me in the face. Chapter 27. I woke up slowly in a hospital. Not the best place to wake up, but at least I was waking up, period. That meant that we had won. It took me a minute to remember what we'd won against and how I'd wound up here. We defeated the Noctmar. Everything was fuzzy. Looking down, one of my feet was in a cast. My toes were ugly and purple, sticking out the end of it. Looking to the side, my opposite arm was also cast. I could feel the dull ache of other injuries and the itch of stitches in several places over my body. I'd gotten messed up. Again. Despite being hurt, I didn't care about myself. The only coherent thought I could latch onto was who else had made it. Who had we lost? I looked to the other side. Stricken, I croaked. The head of the nefarious Special Task Force Unicorn was leaning in the corner, watching me from behind his strangely colored sunglasses. You're awake. About damn time. He sounded funny, like I had water in my ears. I was still too doped up to be angry, but I still tried to sit up. I tried a few times, but couldn't quite make it. I gave up and sunk back into the pillows. I'd kill him later. Right now, I was just tired and thirsty. Stricken walked over and stood over the bed. It was the first time I'd met him in person. He was too tall and too thin. It was like he tried to avoid the sun coming through the mini-blinds. Owen Zastava Pitt, I'm going to make this simple for you. I'm going to ask you some questions. Your answers will determine the rest of your life. Ready? Up yours, I whispered. Let me set the stage for this next question. Help you get in the right frame of mind. He gave me an eerie smile. You met the dragon under the casino.
Management?
No, the other dragon. Yes, management, you idiot. While my people were investigating the scene, it came to my attention that our dragon friend had a problem with eavesdropping. That's a terrible habit. Shows a real lack of character. So here's my question. What do you know? I meant to say fuck you, but what came out instead was Nemesis. Stricken chuckled over my surprise. Don't be alarmed, Mr. Pitt. There's a potent chemical cocktail in your IV bag. You couldn't lie to me if you wanted to. I was afraid of this. What do you know about Project Nemesis?
Nothing about what it actually does. Something big, I think. You want it. Franks and Myers don't. It scares them. You'd let everyone die to make your point.
It hurt to talk, but I couldn't stop. It was like there was no stop between my mouth and my brain.